WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and that tune that we just played is an indicator of who my guest is tonight. My interview tonight is previously recorded, so please, no phone calls. I would also like to have you note that the views expressed on this program are those of the individuals who speak them, and not necessarily those of Portsmouth Community Radio, its Board of Trustees, members, volunteers, or underwriters. Well, I just flew through all those announcements. I do not have my good friend, Chris Vaughn, with me tonight. He could not make it in. Not only that, my guest couldn't make it in either. He made it in on Friday night. Not only did he make it in here to the Studio B on Friday night, but he made it into the press room later, and I have to say that it was just a fantastic time. He was playing. He really leads the parade. I think I might even say that in the interview. But I mean, really, he really makes it happen. He's an excellent player. He gave me his CD, and this is one of the times where I've had the opportunity to listen to it beforehand, and I'm just really blown away by his skillful playing. Anyways, he's in a band called the Press Gang. They're playing all over the place. We're going to get into it later on in the interview, but I just should let you know that The one that, if you're around here, you should do is see Saturday, February 9th at 7 p.m., York Art Association in York, Maine. He's doing a solo show. I strongly recommend that you go see him. His name, well, I think I say that in the recorded part, who it is. I think I've already said it. Anyways, here we are with part one of Local Folk Today. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am with a guy who's a giant among men. He's known, not only that, he has more than one name, in fact. Some call him Junior. Some call him Christian. I call him Chris, as we do here in Portsmouth. His name's full name, Chris Stevens. He's a box player. Came down from Portland today. I've been trying to get him on the show for I don't even know how long, and it hasn't quite worked out, but I'm really excited to have you in the studio today. Welcome to Local Folk.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Yeah. Hey, so I knew you. I met you probably the first time down at Molly Malone's.
Yeah, the session there.
The session there. And, you were a little bit younger then. Actually, yeah. You're still a young guy, though. You know, how old are you?
I'm 28.
You're 28. Yeah, so you're like probably the youngest player of folk music in the tri-state area. Is that
that might not be entirely accurate. But amongst the youngest, perhaps.
Amongst the youngest, you think that you're pushing the upper edge of the younger crowd? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I'm starting to get a few gray hairs here and there, and
you're married now. That's
yeah. It's yep.
You're
an
a teacher.
Old man. Teacher, performer.
So how did it all start, though? I mean, tell me, did you grow up with the music? I ask everybody.
Well, not really. I started playing when I was, it would have been about 97, 98. So it would have been, 10 years ago. It would have been 13 or 14. I can't quite figure out when my first experience with the music was. My parents would listen to Clancy Brothers records, things like that. But I'm not sure how big of an impact that had on me.
Well, you started playing when you were 13 or 14?
Yeah.
What were you listening to beforehand?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. What the 13 and 14-year-olds listen to in the early 90s.
In the early 90s? Bell Biv DeVoe?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, yeah.
Yeah, that's the soundtrack of my youth, for sure. Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd, that's awesome. Hey, but that's really good stuff.
It is, yeah. I still listen to it.
Me too, every once in a while. Anyways, so that's what you were listening to. So why on earth did you I called you a box player. Mm-hmm. What are you really playing?
That's accurate. The button accordion concertina, concertina.
You're playing angle. Okay, I'll ask you, to explain a little bit more, because there's so many different kinds of concertina.
It's daunting, yeah. There's they're everywhere.
But you play more. They're everywhere. Except if you don't listen to folk music, you've probably never even seen one of these things before.
That's true.
What is that? Is that like a sailor instrument?
That's how I describe it. You know, Popeye, the little hexagonal thing. Or my favorite moniker is it's a harmonica with bellows. It's a, it sort of aptly describes it, I think.
A harmonica with it. So you could call it an Illan harmonica or something
that. Yeah.
I don't know how to say a hand harmonica or something.
I like that.
The Illan pipes. I just saw Joey Abarta the other day. You know him?
Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice. Is he recording in town here?
Yeah, he's recording over at Jim Prendergast's studio. And he was on the show. And anyways, So how on earth do you go from listening to Red Hot Chili Peppers and you see, what was that guy's name? Flea.
Flea, yeah. He's
so was he playing one and you said, what is
that
thing?
Not quite. Actually, there's a couple of different stories that I have sort of my first introduction to the music. My seventh grade science teacher was actually Emory Hutchins of local fame.
Oh, really?
Yep. And I remember one day he, as a sort of acoustics demonstration, sound demonstration, he brought in his concertina to play for the science lab, and I saw that, and I thought it looked pretty cool, so I asked him about it. He showed me a few tunes after school. I got my hands on a cheap concertina. Yeah.
How on earth?
There's not many of them, but I was lucky to find one, and then he directed me to the press room session, and so I saw it in its natural habitat, and it looks pretty fun.
But did you play even any instruments?
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I played piano, and piano.
Okay, so you had some, played piano.
Exactly, yeah. My mother played piano and French horn and band music.
Your mother played the French horn?
Yeah, Yeah.
Like in as a when did you hear her when you were growing up?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She would have been playing in like local community ensembles and things like that and church groups. So
at a bandstand?
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Yeah. Now I've seen these yeah. local bands before. It's a great way for people to do music.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It gets everybody involved, which is good.
Where else are you gonna play the French horn?
That's true. Well, she just played at Carnegie Hall, so
you're
that's
really?
Her. Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
That's her claim to fame.
Recently?
Yeah.
All right, so you've got the genes. You have it in the blood.
Right. So there was music around the house when I was growing up.
All right.
But then, you know, to get into the folk music, you know, between Emery and then a fellow named Larry Reynolds, who was a fiddle player down in Boston, I had the opportunity to hear him and his son Mike play when I was really young. So,
okay.
So that sort of set me off on the right track and... played a little concertina, a little tenor banjo, a little fiddle, and landed on the button accordion later on.
Okay, well, see, this is the thing. See, by the time I saw you, you were already a smoking hot, you know, concertina player and button accordion player as well. And everyone's, oh, and he's so young, you know, I mean, and this and that and the other thing. So, I mean, when you took off with this thing, you didn't look back. I mean, you just said, this is what I'm going
to
do. And
I tend to do that with things, you know, just dive in and just go all the way. So
just dive in and go all the way. Yeah, jump right off the deep end.
Yeah, so I got really into it, started learning a lot of tunes and going to sessions. And I was at the press room session every Friday for years and years up until I left for college.
You have a little something that you brought in some great music, it looks like. You have something that we can play that was something that is earlier or
Well, actually, I've got a cut from the very first... very first Irish music CD I ever picked up, which was totally by chance at Amadeus Music in Portland. It's not there anymore, but this was on sale. It was really cheap, this generic CD of Irish music, and it turned out to be a great fiddle player named Frankie Gavin and a box player, Aidan Coffey, and they're accompanied by Artie McGlynn on the guitar. So I listened to this, I was pretty blown away, and so that helped the process. What,
did you have the cheap concertina yet? Or
yes.
Okay,
yeah,
so you were like seeking out music at that point, tunes. What track is number is that?
That's number two there. So.
Yeah, let's play a little bit of this. This is it, huh?
That's it.
All right, let's give this a listen for a sec here on Local Folk. So why was this in the bargain bin?
I don't know. That's a good question. Nobody bought it.
Nobody bought it till you came along.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was really drawn to this recording after I got it. It's just like the energy in it. And it's a live recording. It was made in France in the 80s or something. It's just like pure energy, you know. It's good stuff on there.
There's a lot of stuff going on with the fiddle there.
Yeah, he's quite the player, Frankie. Yeah.
A lot of, what do they call that when they add their own flourishes to...
Little variations, ornaments. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. Improvisation.
The scene?
The what?
What they call it? The scene of a song or something? I don't know, man. I can't.
Sure.
Improvisations and ornaments. Yeah. There's quite a few. Am I wrong about that?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, that's... it's not like... in Irish music, the improvisation is on the level of jazz or anything like that where you take breaks, but... every player sort of adds their own stamp to the tune by changing a few notes here, a few notes there, and they really make it their own that way. And you know, these two guys definitely do that. So.
But if you were playing with them, you'd all be able to play the same.
Yeah, you know, the sort of basic skeleton of the tune remains the same, but you go on little journeys one way or the other.
Did you learn from reading music or from listening?
A little bit of both. I was... I read music from an early age, and when I went to school, I studied piano at college, actually, so I got my music theory in there as well.
Oh, so you studied, okay, so...
Yeah, so that was...
There's
a lot of things coming together.
A lot of things coming together.
But I was also, I always listened to a lot of music and listened really sort of critically close, you know, trying to figure out what's going on, and I was able to develop a pretty good ear that way, and I think that helped me learn the music.
The fingering is totally different, though, isn't it?
Yeah. The different instruments I play, they're all different systems of.
So does it mess you up? That's what I've always
Not
wondered.
Really. I got this little switch on my head, and I just flick it over, and it.
You have a switch in your head that's like a selector switch.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, you do it. Put enough hundreds of hours into it, and you can.
Well, tell me about those hundreds of hours. Is that a week?
I don't know. Yeah.
I've noticed, and tell me if I'm wrong, but a lot of you tune players are like totally obsessive.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you're going to do anything well, you got to be obsessive to some extent, right? Like,
You have to be willing to.
Yeah. You put the time in. You know, to do anything right takes a lot of time. You know, whether we're talking about painting or counting or music.
Don't tell me you paint too.
No. Oh no. No.
And you count?
I can count. Yeah. So like 100.
Hey, you got to put your time into it. Cool. So you're out searching. So that's what you were doing.
I was just sort of soaking up everything I could find. I went to a few sessions all around the state and all around New England, listening to different players. When I went off to school, I went to Lowell, UMass Lowell there. So I was within a hop, skip, and a jump of Boston.
Okay.
So there's some great music in Boston, as you would imagine. You know, there's a lot of immigrants. And
well, what's your favorite place to go in Boston?
In Boston? Oh, well, these days there's a really nice session at a place in Jamaica Plain called the Brendan Behan.
Yeah, okay.
On Saturdays. It's kind of a tight sort of spot. So
yeah.
It's kind of small, but there's some really nice players that show up, and it's a good vibe, very appreciative crowd.
I used to go there.
You know that place?
Well, not for the music.
Right.
I went to Mass Art.
Okay.
Years, and I think it was like right before they started that session, or I didn't know anything about the music, but it is a great pub.
Yeah, it's a great place. Yeah, it's really comfy. You know, it's like home away from home. But yeah, there's sessions every day of the week in Boston now. There's people doing some really cool things with involving everybody, and there's some really top-notch music being created these days. It's always sort of an ebb and flow thing. You get people leaving, people coming in. Makes it exciting, though. Like Joey's a good example. He just came to Boston recently, and he's really, really...
he's great.
Yeah, he's a fabulous
player. I was over at Jim Prendergast the other day, and they were miking him up, and I just... he has a great sense of rhythm.
Yeah.
It's impeccable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh,
boy. Anyways.
Yeah, and he really knows the music, too. You know, he puts his time in sort of figuring out where the music comes from and what he's doing with the pipes. And
plus, he's a friendly and welcoming person.
Yeah, it's a complete package.
I'm telling
you. Good guy.
Unbelievable. I aspire to things like that one of these days. So you're going to Boston. You're playing with good players then.
Yeah. I got to cut my teeth with some nice players.
And they
there.
Let you in.
Yeah, somehow, yeah.
Come here, youngster.
Yeah, well.
There's a lot of young, hot, young players down there.
Yeah,
though, aren't there?
There are, yeah. And there was then as well. Yeah. But I got to fell in with some great players. Helena Delaney, who plays the fiddle, and tons of people. Noel Scott was a box player who I picked a few tunes off of. There was a lot going on. You know, Johnny O'Leary was there on the accordion, and Kara Frankowitz. And
are they still around?
Yeah, a lot of them are. Yeah, still playing away. And
maybe you can get them to come swing up to Portsmouth here and
maybe,
be on the show.
Maybe they'd come up. Yeah, I'm sure they would.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Hey, we have time for a couple. We're going to take a break in a few minutes, but we should talk about some of these things on the list here.
Yeah. I brought some music with me here. So why don't we play this one here? This is a friend of mine, Nicole Rabata, who lives up in Portland. She's a great flute player. Seems like a couple years back now, released a great CD called Armorica, and I was lucky enough to be able to play on a couple tracks with her. So this is one off that.
Right, and what is the name of it?
The first tune, it's a funny name, actually. The first one's called Her Long Black Hair Flowing Down Her Back. And there's actually, it goes on longer than that. And the color of her golden hair was black. So that's one tune name. And then we have the Peacock's Feather.
So
afterwards.
By the time you get done saying the name, the tune's over.
I have to shorten it down.
All right, cool. Well, here we go, right? It's for the first time on Local Folk, this song with a very long name.
Cool.
A tune.
Tune, that's right.
Oh, I'm with a tune player. Thank you. Now, is that you on the flute as well?
No, no, that's Nicole. And I believe that's it's either David Surratt or Owen Marshall on the bouzouki.
So Owen is in a band that you're in, right?
That's right. Yeah, the Press Gang.
Okay,
a little trio.
We're gonna talk about them soon. And Dave Surratt, man, he's all over the place.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player. Just up the road here.
Just up the road. I had him on the show, and we had a great time. I want to thank him for doing it early when I feel like I was a little more wonky at at this whole process. But he's a great person as well. That's the nice thing about the folk community.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, there's a lot of people sort of taking on themselves to do a lot for the music and go above and beyond, because it's, you know, it's the type of music where if you don't support it, it's, you know.
But don't you think, what do you think, though? I mean, isn't that great that it was really Emery that introduced you to the music?
Yeah, it's either Emery or Larry Reynolds. I can't quite figure it out, but it's around the same time, so.
But he, you know, yeah. Emery having been a teacher.
Yeah.
And then having brought that in and shown, I mean, he must have thought that no one was going to take to that. You're probably, I'm going to guess that you're the only bouzouki player that came out of his, concertina player that came out of class.
That's probably a pretty safe guess. Yeah.
Man, yeah. I'm getting all my instruments mixed up. Yeah. Hey, let's do one more tune, because I want to talk about this one called Dawn that you have on there.
Yeah, so I've had the good luck to play with a fellow named Roger Burridge. She's twice a week sometimes for the last 6 or 8 years. And he's a really fun time. He's a great guy. He's been around the block. He was born in England and played in Ireland for a long time. He's a house musician at McGann's there in Doolin, which is a sort of a shrine of Irish music. So he's a great player, and he lives in the Concord area now. So we play a couple sessions, one at the Salt Hill Pub in Lebanon, New Hampshire, and then the Shaskeen in Manchester.
Do you ever do that that one in Concord?
The Barley House. No, I haven't been to that one.
Okay.
Yet. Yeah,
ever?
It's always on Tuesday nights, so we're always up at the Salt Hill Pub. Yeah, but it's a little insane, but we've been making the 6 hour. Well, I've been making the 6 hour round trip to Lebanon every week for the last six years.
6 hour round trip.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I don't.
It gives you.
If it wasn't for Roger, you know, I wonder if I would still be doing it, but. Yeah, I'm really lucky to be able to share some tunes with him and a lot of time in the car, so I get some cool stories. And but this one track we were talking about, he recorded a CD with some friends of his a few years ago now. And so,
rock and roll. This is Dawn.
It's a set of tunes collectively called Dawn. So I know one of them's called The Dawn.
I'm not
sure about the others. Yeah.
No, but you're not on this, or you are?
No, I'm not on this. This is Roger and his friend Michael Shurrock, and I believe Quentin Cooper's on there. There's some other folks whose names escape me right now.
Well, if you want to listen to what Christian Stevens is listening to, go out and get yourself Roger Burge's album with The Dawn on it. Listen,
it's called Across the Pond with Roger Burge.
Across the Pond?
Yeah, that's the album name. Yeah.
Oh, right on. I'm going to play this one tune, and then we're going to take a break, and I'm going to go back to live stuff to make some announcements and whatnot. Great. And then we'll come back for part two here on Local Folk. And we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Boy, is that fun or what? This is Steve Carrigan live here in the studio, and we're going to be getting on to part two of my interview with Chris Stevens. I just wanted to let you know that if you're enjoying this, please go out and see him during his solo show on that Saturday, February 9th at 7 p.m., York Art Association in York, Maine. It's a free show, so you might as well go. Not just because it's free, but because it's awesome. Got to let you know what's going on in the community calendar as well. There's going to be a free play reading on Wednesday, February 20th at 7:30 p.m. at the Players Ring in Portsmouth. Generic Theater will read Jez Butterworth's Parlor Song. The reading will feature local actors Roland Goodbody, Jerry Duffy, and Peggy McCarthy. It explores themes of deceit, paranoia, and murderous desire. The Players Ring is at 105 Marcy Street in Portsmouth. More information is at 603-436-8123 or online at playersring.org. This reading is free and open to the public. All right. I've just been kicking back and enjoying listening to... It's not often that I get to listen to my own interviews, and in having listened to it a second time, I realized that there are more things that I got out of it the second time that I didn't get out of it the first time. So if you want to have that same experience, you can just mosey on over on your computer to stephencarrigan.com, StephenCarrigan. StephenCarrigan.com. I'm your host, Stephen Carrigan, and you can go to StephenCarrigan.com. There's all kinds of things on there, but there's a tab that's very easy to see right at the top called Local Folk, and that brings you right to the archive. I try to keep an archive of all my programs. Regrettably, there are a few that have gone missing, but in general, I've tried to compile an archive of musicians, local and otherwise, that I've interviewed on this program, and tried to put them together for you all to be able to reference whenever you see fit or need to hear something new or need to hear something over again. All right. Well, anyways, let's get back to my recorded interview with Chris Stevens, Christian Stevens, Jr. Stevens. He's an excellent natural player, but he also practices beyond the scope of what most normal people would do, I'm sure. He's a real pro, he's an excellent teacher, and he's a great guy. So here he is. Well, Chris, welcome back to Local Folk.
And good to be here.
Yeah, and you've talked to us about how you got going, and I noticed that once you did get going, I mean, you didn't look back. You have so many things going on right now. I've had... some people from different projects that you've worked on, you know, on the show. Mm-hmm. And you have all kinds of things going on. You have a band called The Press Gang.
That's right, yeah.
And you have, you're also in the Bog...
Not anymore. I'm a charter member of Bog Hat.
Of Bog Hat, okay. Charter member of Bog Hat.
Charter is probably
okay.
Not the right word. But I used to play with those guys back in the day. But
Do sessions. Do you do sessions down up in Portland, though, right?
Yeah. When I kind of go down to the Brian Brew, so that's on Sundays. You probably talked to Tom about that the other week. Yeah, that's a good little session there.
So are you basically, and you teach?
That's right, yeah. I'm sort of directing a lot of my energy these days to teaching and organizing, like learning sessions, things like that, you know, really, really sort of trying to improve my ability as a teacher. So I think that goes a long way towards helping the music out. So
now you're on fire learning to be the best teacher that you can possibly be. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, right? Right, why not? Yeah.
I mean, you have a lot of different teaching things going on. I mean,
right,
if somebody
yeah.
wanted to, do you teach them, I mean, it sounds like you have some formal music training. So
yeah.
Do you start with I have a voice teacher, and she gives me one of those books with the lines in it,
okay.
And writes
yeah.
things. Do you do that for
I
them?
I actually try to avoid that. I try to encourage my students to learn entirely by ear. Sometimes it's easier for some than others. So every now and then I can sort of draw on my formal music training and use sheet music and music theory ideas and stuff. But
But, I mean, traditional music is never played as it's written.
Right,
is that...
exactly. That's the thing, you know, that's how you really learn it is just by listening. And you can't, there's little things, little nuances in the music that you can't really write down. So it's much easier to learn by ear. And that's how it's been passed down for years and years. So it's kind of authentic.
Do you ever sit with people and play the same tune by like five different people or give them that and say, listen to the same tune by these five different people?
No, but I might have to steal that from you. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Yeah. They're thinking about becoming a teacher.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. You know, it's a lot of times if you listen to Frankie Gavin playing, who we listened to earlier, or even Roger or anybody we listened to this evening, sometimes you can really, just by listening to a short little clip, you can tell, oh, that's that person. Just by how they play, the inflections they put on the music and where they go with it, which is, I think, really the fascinating part about this music is it changes so much from player to player, and it's kind of, you know, it's like a game of telephone, you know. One person will learn a tune from another person and change it a little bit, make it their own, and yeah, that's where the creativity comes in, and that's what keeps people interested.
Now, when you're at a session where there's a lot of players, do you find that your playing changes depending on who you're sitting next to?
To an extent, yeah, yeah. Specifically with rhythms and stuff, sort of a rhythmic emphasis can change. A lot of times, if it's at a large session, some of the smaller stuff gets lost. So you tend to sometimes you strip your versions of the tune down if it's a big session to the sort of bare essentials. But that doesn't make it any worse. It's just you sort of get in a different kind of groove when you're playing with a large group. So.
What are your thoughts on tempo?
Slower the better.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's much harder to play this music, any music, slow. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. That's you know, always one of the first things I say to my students, slow it down. You know,
and they're like, okay. Or do they just want to go crazy?
They want to go crazy, you know, because you hear this music fast, generally, and so people want to reproduce what they hear. But they forget that the way you get to that level is by playing it slow, millions, billions even.
Just over and over.
Yeah, yeah, just hours and hours spent playing it really slow. Even now, you know, if I know a tune really well and I sit down with it, play it really slow, say I'm teaching a beginning class, teaching a bunch of beginner concertina players, if I sit down with that tune and play it really, really slow, even if it's a tune I could play in my sleep, I get something new out of it, and I learn it a little better just by... You know, really, really paying attention to every note and every little thing in the music. You know, not just letting it fly by without caring about it. You know.
So then you actually have a good time at these slow sessions, then.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think they're no matter how advanced you are, I think you can learn something from.
Do you find that you're learning from your students?
Yeah, certain things. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they'll have an idea about something, and I'm like, oh, I didn't think of it that way, and. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of the fun part about teaching is the give and take. Yeah.
Do they seek you out, or do you...
Yeah, it's nice playing the concertina and accordion in New England, because it's if you want to take concertina and accordion lessons, you got a few options. But
I want to talk about some of the things that you have coming up, because I see a lot of I want to talk about your own solo stuff and all that as well.
Yeah.
But since we're talking about the teaching, I mean, you have a lot going on. Tell me about what's coming up.
Yeah, well, something that might be of interest to your listeners is the slow session that me and Tom, who you interviewed last week, I think, me and him started it. It's the first and third Monday of every month up in Portland at a local violin maker named John Cooper has a shop there, and he was kind enough to let us use his space. So we meet the first and third Monday of every month, 7 to 9, and we've got a website where we post the new tunes we're going to learn. We got sheet music and audio files on there for people to
sheet music
to.
And audio files, yeah. So that they can so sheet music and lovers of music.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know, basically the idea here is to get people playing music, you know, and so whatever it takes, you know. Obviously, it's great if you can listen to it and play it. But if you're glued to the sheet music, we're not going to hold it against you.
So you're not gonna go in blind to one of these things. You're gonna walk in and you're gonna have listened to it, MP3s or whatever,
yeah,
and
exactly.
and seen the sheet.
But
music.
Even if you do go in blind, we walk through the tunes really slow, so it's you can learn them right sort of on the fly there as well.
Is there, you know, it must be. Is it sort of a how far do you have to go before you're not playing at the slow session anymore. I mean, you could probably be in the slow session for a long time, but at some point you may, you know.
Well, it all depends on the time you put into it, and, you know.
The time you put into it. You talk about millions and billions of hours. I mean, you must spend...
Millions and billions of minutes.
Of minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you must spend that time. I mean, that's probably not that much of an exaggeration. Yeah. I mean, you probably
over
spend
a lifetime,
most of your time playing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm playing enough now that I don't practice nearly as much as I should at home. But over the years, I've definitely put some time.
Plus,
into
you're married
it.
Now,
right? Exactly. I've
tried
my wife crazy,
and
but she's a musician as well, so she understands.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. See,
but I should give you before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I should
please.
Give you the website for that slow session. It's IrishMusicPortlandMaine.org.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a little mailing list. We keep going. We usually have between 10 and 20 players there. So. If you want to learn some Irish music and feel like driving up to Portland, join us.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think it is, too.
I mean, to be in a slow... I may even come. I'm going to bring my kazoo.
Cool. Yeah, it's fine. I won't hold it against you.
What else do we have going? I'm just kidding, folks. No kazoos. All right.
So in the learning department, I also teach... there's every Saturday for 20 weeks a year, basically. It's 2 10-week semesters. An organization called Cultus Culturi Aaron runs a music school in Boston. It's in a Catholic school in Brighton. And so they offer classes in a variety of instruments. It's every Saturday. And that's a really cool opportunity because some of the Boston musicians are on the faculty there. Well, it's all Boston musicians, basically, except for myself. And so it's a really great opportunity to learn. And there's like, I think there was 140 students this year, so it's pretty popular. That's another way to learn.
140.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and all ages, you know, just little kids up to old folks. And there's all sorts of options, you know, whether you want to learn concertina or accordion or fiddle or banjo, if you want to learn to sing in Irish or English, if you want to learn to play the whistle or bower on guitar, whatever it is, you know.
They got
there's
it.
An option there. Yeah, so
they
that's
got it down there.
So that's CCEBostonMusicSchool.org, another mouthful.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then the...
and then this other one,
yeah,
which is Bar Harbor?
Bar Harbor, yeah.
Bar Harbor. You can't get there from here.
Should put a plug in for some friends of ours who are this is the first time they're doing something called the Acadia Traditional